And so the way it's set up, too, that is that the TMA may, after a five-year establishment period, the TMA may request of council to recharter and operate under nonprofit status. At such time, the TMA will adopt a set of bylaws to govern the new organization, and the council will reevaluate the budget. Those are my proposed amendments to B. And then finally, my proposed amendments to proposed Exhibit C. Exhibit C and Exhibit A are actually the same thing, but one is an attachment to the resolution and one is attached to the ordinance. So that, again, brings the phasing approach. And so I move those amendments.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Council discussion. This will be for the purposes of further consideration and public testimony.
Clark? Mayor, I'm prepared to support the amendments, the purpose of putting them on the table and having further discussion. And I appreciate that some of this work has been done right up to the 11th hour, but what is your thinking in terms of any additional amendments members of council may want to bring based on testimony that we hear tonight?
Today is the day to do them. So, Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
This is to enter these amendments on the table for the purpose of discussion. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
So approved. All right. We will go to testimony now. Thank you for being patient. Wanted to get that on the record. Go ahead and call. So the rules of the chamber are for every day, every session. How many of you have been here before? Okay. For those of you that are new, if you want to testify, you need to sign up. We will call in the order that people signed up. If you're here to testify only on your own behalf, you just need to give us your first and last name. If you're here representing a business, an organization, a group, you have to, under local law, you have to disclose that. If you don't, we're assuming you're here speaking on your own behalf. This is a chamber that seeks to facilitate and encourage the free flow of sometimes competing views of things. And so if you like something, you can definitely put your thumb up. If you don't like it, you can put your thumb down. But there's no clapping, hollering, hooting, any noise whatsoever so that debate can take place. All right, Carl, how many people have signed up?
We have 42.
42. We will start with 3 minutes. And then at a 43, we will start at 3 minutes, and we undoubtedly see how things progress, how we can change between the four people that are called up at a time. We will be going down to two. So first four, please.
Are Ron Walters, Tavo Cruz, Rick Michelson, and Alan Costley, and they'll be followed by Dan Anderson, Craig Boretz, Ron Morgan, and Tom Ranieri.
Mr. Cruz, would you like to begin?
Yes, thank you.
We're missing one. Who didn't come up?
We got Ron Walters, Rick Michelson, Alan Costley.
Okay, call one more, please.
Dan Anderson.
Okay, go ahead and begin, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Gustavo Cruz, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the Northwest District Association, or the NWDA. I'm an NWDA board member, the chair of its ad hoc parking committee, and a lifelong resident of Northwest Portland. Initially, I would note that our comments were drafted in response to the plan as distributed last week, and the amendments that Commissioner Fritz initially proposed, the latest tweaks as of today may not be completely consistent with our testimony, but I think the point will be the same. First, we would like to thank Mayor Adams, the commissioners, numerous staff members, as well as those business representatives and neighborhood residents who participated in the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the time and effort they've devoted to the parking problem in Northwest Portland. Consideration of the proposed plan by City Council represents a culmination of years of work and debate regarding this vexing issue. Although we have concerns about certain aspects of the plan and the proposed Transportation Management Association, or TMA, we are pleased to support the overall plan. We believe that the proposed plan is a step in the right direction and will serve our neighborhood well as residential density and commercial activity continue to increase in the coming years. Through the use of permits, meters, shared parking arrangements, and other targeted efforts, we anticipate more efficient use of scarce public resource. We expect to see fewer commuters use Northwest Portland as a park and ride location, as well as improved parking availability for businesses, residents, and visitors. Successful implementation of this plan may also serve as a model for other neighborhoods and will demonstrate the city's commitment to addressing on-street parking needs as density and commercial activity increase in other vibrant Portland neighborhoods. Second, we would like to clarify several misconceptions regarding the NWDA's role in this process. The proposed plan was formulated by the City of Portland pursuant to City Council Resolution Number 36744 with extensive input from a Stakeholder Advisory Committee, or SAC. The SAC was comprised of representatives of business interests, neighborhood residents, institutional partners, and consultants specializing in parking and economic analysis. The NWDA was not the dominant voice in this process, nor were the NWDA's recommendations adopted in their entirety. Many compromises were accepted by the neighborhood, including the exclusion of Sundays from the plan. In fact, many neighborhood residents require more parking flexibility on Sundays because they are off work and use their vehicles to run weekend errands. This significant compromise was intended to help address the needs of neighborhood businesses. The NWDA has consistently tried to balance the needs of neighbors with those of businesses, even though this balancing effort may have detracted from the ideal solution for neighborhood residents. Despite vocal opposition from some businesses, other businesses support the plan, including Conway, one of the largest and most influential employers and property owners in the neighborhood. Conway realizes that effective management of on-street parking will be essential for the success of their Slabtown development. Also, please note that the NWDA's support for the plan has never been based on any potential revenue generated by meters and permits.
Go ahead and continue.
I'll gladly cede my 3 minutes.
You're not allowed to do that, but please continue.
Thank you.
I'll give the Knob Hill representative 5 minutes as well.
From our perspective, the primary goal has been to improve the livability of the neighborhood, and any revenue that might be generated, whether allocated to the city or the neighborhood via the TMA, is simply a byproduct of that effort. Third, although the NWDA is supportive overall, we have concerns regarding certain details of the plan, Commissioner Fritz's proposed amendments, and especially formation and governance of the proposed TMA. Our board of directors voted to support a draft of the plan in January, but as part of that vote, we requested additional information regarding the operation and governance of the TMA. We only received this information immediately before the mayor's press conference last Friday, so although we have received some feedback from our board and members, we were unable to discuss these matters in detail at a full board meeting prior to today's hearing. Following is a summary of concerns and recommendations expressed by members of our board, our ad hoc parking committee, and neighborhood residents. Number one, the plan as presented allows businesses to obtain permits for up to 85% of their employees, slightly more than is currently necessary according to a recent mode split data.
I want to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking away your time, but I understand the amendment bumps that to 100% now.
Correct. Okay. Commissioner Fritz has proposed increasing this percentage to 100% of full-time employees. We recommend that this percentage be maintained at 85%, consistent with current mode split data and the city's goals regarding alternative modes of transportation. Next, many neighborhood residents are concerned that meter revenues could be used to subsidize commercial parking ventures in the neighborhood. The NWDA opposes this use of revenues and would prefer to see these funds used to support transportation-related initiatives such as parking permit subsidies for low-income residents, transit passes, pedestrian infrastructure improvements, and improved transportation service in the Northwest District. We recommend that the plan and or the TMA formation documents include express language prohibiting the use of meter revenue to subsidize commercial parking garages or parking lots. We also recommend that Objective 2D of the organizational framework of the TMA be revised to clarify that private investment and not public funds should support development of additional off-street structured parking.
So I need you to wrap up, sir.
All right. In summary, I will just say, regarding the TMA, which is a major concern of ours, I will just read our recommendations and not discuss the analysis. The analysis, you have the written analysis in the materials we provided. Number one, we recommend that City Council reject the amendments proposed by Commissioner Fritz. Number two, we recommend that voting at-large positions be limited to representatives of institutional participants in the neighborhood, such as religious institutions and Good Samaritan Hospital. All other interests, such as the Hillside neighborhood, and issue advocacy groups from outside the neighborhood should be allowed to participate only as non-voting members. Three, there should be no more voting at large positions than the number of positions allocated for representation of either primary stakeholder group, that is the NWDA or the NHBA. Four, all voting members representing the NWDA and NHBA should be chosen by their respective associations. 5, all voting members of the TMA board should either live or work within the Northwest District. And 6, decisions of the TMA board should be subject to a supermajority voting standard.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. There are two things that, just to help everyone keep track of what's going on. As amended and as proposed an amendment, everyone is from within the parking district, even though it says at large, that's at large within the parking district. So that is in here. It's a majority vote, it's a simple majority vote, not a supermajority vote. And it remains an allowable use, parking meter revenue for off-street parking functions. That remains an allowable use. So it doesn't guarantee anything, it just doesn't prohibit it. So I just want everyone to sort of keep track.
Thank you.
Mr. Anderson, would you like to go next? Would you like to push your chair on up here?
Sure. Right. Slightly outside the called sequence, but whatever. Daniel Anderson, 2144 Northwest Flanders, representing myself. I was a member of the Parking Advisory SAC, and I've been involved with attempts to find parking solutions in the neighborhood for the last two decades. Some have quipped this ought to be the Berta Delman Memorial Parking Ordinance, who died while attempting to do the same thing, literally.
God bless her.
The parking management plan is a thoughtful piece of work and should be adopted by the council. I would encourage you, especially the sort of very last-minute nature of this wave of amendments proposed by Commissioner Fritz, they should be considered carefully, particularly those that provide multiple sandbagging opportunities to thwart and delay the plain intentions and recommendations of the plan. We've been at this too long to be creating new opportunities for foot dragging today. The creation of the TMA is a key recommendation of the plan, one of the matters before you. But there are several governance details which need to be touched on. I mean, I would broadly endorse the comments made by Mr. Cruz that representation should be limited to individuals who either live in, work in, or own property in the area. For something that is neighborhood and geographically focused, the notion that you've got folks on the TMA board who lack that fundamental nexus connection just doesn't make a lot of sense. Needs to be carefully addressed. With regard to the TMA generally, I mean, I'm under no illusions that should this all be adopted, we'll immediately enter an area of peace and light and tranquility. The engagement of the TMA won't be perfect from the get-go, but it will create an opportunity to learn and to experiment with progressively better solutions based on experience. And this is a much better option than continuing to do nothing. And TMA engagement affords the possibility of growing a new climate of consensus or quasi-consensus as historical opponents learn to work together to fashion improved solutions. And I think you actually gain something in direction of that quasi-consensus decision-making by requiring some sort of supermajority decision standard on the part of the TMA, and I would encourage you to consider it. And thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams, I think because we have a lot of people testifying, if there are issues that come up that we can just put to bed, it's
sure.
Helpful so we don't hear the same over and over. So could you just address the question, because of the 23 proposed members of the TMA, I only see one who doesn't work or live in the district, or am I misreading it?
Correct. Only Hillside representative does not work or live in the district, and that's the adjacent neighborhood, and it's appropriate that they have a voice in case of impacts, in my mind.
And since the TMA isn't making decisions that are implemented, it's making recommendations, I would expect to know what the vote was. So if it's 10 to 8 or not everybody was there, I will want to know that, and that will be clear to me and others that there was not a clear consensus.
So I do. I also just, I think the amendment put forward and the original structure is to not allow for sandbagging or foot dragging to require action. And it will matter a whole lot the people that are nominated and confirmed by council. And we're looking for solutions-oriented, fair-minded people that care about the success of everyone in the district. Mr. President.
I'll waive my time in the interest of time for everyone.
Mr. Michelson.
Yes, I'm Rick Michelson, and I've lived in Northwest Portland since 1975.
Can you push the button on that one? Is the only one you have to push button? Thanks.
Since 1975, and I've been working on the parking issue since 1977 in Northwest Portland. I was part of an initial study with PSU students where we actually tabulated all the parking in the district, and until recently, I still had the punch cards from this study. I'm also a developer and own a significant amount of property along 23rd Avenue and care about my tenants, and their success means that I either have money or don't. I'm strongly in favor of what you're doing today. Parking in Northwest Portland is a precious resource. We need to manage it. We've struggled with it, and we haven't had the tools. What you're doing today through establishing the TMA and the permit system is establishing those tools so we can work together to solve the problems in the future. I urge you, and I especially appreciate the phase in of this proposal so we can remain flexible, because new problems and new issues will arise all the time. For example, I have a building that I've had since 1985 that's an office space for small healthcare providers, and never had any parking problem until a year ago when a major apartment building was built next to them without any parking. So suddenly the need has shifted to something slightly different. This will continue to happen. I think the TMA, as constituted, will continue to have the ability to make those changes and move forward with the advice and approval of council as appropriate, and really help solve the problem. As I say, this is a toolbox. The tools are going to change. We're going to pick tools out of it and put them in and invent new mechanisms to make this work better. In response to Commissioner Fish's question about volunteers and getting permits and getting a ticket while they walk to their institution to get a permit, I foresee very shortly that people will be able to get their permits by email. If they have an appointment to volunteer at an organization, they get that permit delivered to their house through email before they come and don't have that problem. Once again, I appreciate your efforts of bringing this forward. I think that this will mean that all of us will get involved in further discussions about the details. But now that we know that something is going to happen, we'll get serious and make it happen correctly. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Let me just get the next change out going. Thank you, gentlemen. Next four
are Craig Boretz, Ron Morgan, Tom Ranieri, and Michael Cronin. And they'll be followed by Phil Geffner, Daniel Cordosa, and Sue Erickson, and Heidi Dodge.
Please come forward. Have a seat.
In terms of acknowledging things and making sure that we don't repeat, I appreciate Mr. Michelson bringing up about the issue of apartments without parking. That's a citywide problem that the council has taken steps to address. We had the Planning and Sustainability Commission hold a forum in November, and we will be holding a hearing on that report. Do you have the date offhand?
19th.
The 19th of December, the council will get a report. It is my firm intent to ask for council support to then direct the Planning and Sustainability Commission to move forward with requiring some parking in some level of multifamily apartments. So that's not forgotten, and I agree that that's a significant issue. It's a citywide issue that we're moving forward to address.
So who are we missing?
Craig Boretz, Ron Morgan, Tom Ranieri, Michael Cronin, and
Craig isn't up here. Let's call one more.
Okay, Phil Geffner.
Mr. Geffner, okay. Mr. Cronin, you're representing Nob Hill, so you have six and a half minutes if you want to take them.
I don't have 6.5 minutes worth of comment.
Go ahead.
Michael Cronin, resident of Northwest Portland, also business owner on 21st Cafe Mingo. I'm here to raise the point that I'm very concerned as a business owner that the footing of the solidarity of Northwest Portland is at risk by implementing the situation that we're talking about with parking meters and not having it occur in other neighborhoods around the city. I feel that a couple of things, the cost and the confusion of understanding where to park, how long one can park, will work as a deterrent to our current level of people coming into this neighborhood. And I really am very hesitant to let it go and to jump in. And that is my concern.
Thank you, sir, very much. Hi.
Hi, I'm Ron Morgan. I'm the CEO of Dove Lewis Emergency Animal Hospital in Northwest Pettigrove between 19th and 20th. I appreciate you letting me talk today. I also appreciate the gracious time that all the commissioners' offices, both personally and with their office staff, gave me earlier this year. And Commissioner Leonard, I served on your Animal Services Task Force a few years ago, And I appreciate seeing you again, Mr. Commissioner Fish. You visited us earlier this year. Dove Lewis is an organization that's been part of Portland for nearly 40 years. In 2004, when we were looking at building a new facility, one of the nicest animal facilities in the world, we decided to stay in Portland after evaluating all of our options that would have been less more affordable for us to move to the suburbs and also give up $90,000 a year that we pay in Multnomah County income taxes. But we decided in the end that we wanted to be part of Portland as we have our entire history. We wanted to stay and be part of the inner city that we've grown to love since 1973. I can honestly tell you that today this is a decision that we continue to question regardless of our love for this city. While it is very enticing to move to the suburbs, our loyalty is to Portland, but it's becoming harder and harder sometimes to do business here. I have board members who live in the Northwest District, as well as countless clients and supporters. Dove Lewis sees nearly 12,000 families come to us every year. We have hundreds of volunteers. I have 100 employees that work for me around the clock. We never close. I can tell you that of all the friends, business supporters, clients, and board members who live in the Northwest Plan, I can find very little support for this plan. There isn't even close to a majority of support for this initiative, so I do not understand why it would move forward. I understand why there is a desire to finish unfinished business, but this is too important an issue for a deadline. I understand the Northwest District Association supports this plan, but honestly, there is not even close to a majority of the businesses and citizens who live in that area that support this, not now and not this time. Also, if this goes forward, it will cost Dove Lewis, a nonprofit, $5,000 a year or more annually to purchase permits for our employees. Over a five-year period, that's $25,000 in funds that we cannot use for our programs. I appreciate that Commissioner Fritz listened to us and also did expand that to 100% coverage, and I'm absolutely stunned to hear the Northwest District Association say today that they don't support that. At the very least, for nonprofits or any organization, there should be a way for us to apply for waivers for permits. Right now, we'd have to go through a different organization that's even looking at this matter, as I've been told by the city. But there should be a clear way to get these waived so it will not cost me $5,000 a year to have my employees come still search for parking. I can tell you also that in your own research, 58% of the people who responded, the top two respondents who said, what's the solution you want to see for parking in Northwest? They said parking garages and parking lots.
So your time is up. Thank you for your testimony. Sir?
How much time do I have?
3 minutes each.
3 minutes?
Yep. Okay. The representatives of Knob Hill and of the Neighborhood Association got 6 minutes each. Everyone, it's 3 minutes.
Okay. Tom Raniere, Cinema 21. I've been there for 32 years. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, a tale of two committees. 10 years between the two committees. The first one, CAC, began in 2000 and met every week for 2 to 3 hours for nearly 2 years. A large group, 24 volunteers representing every aspect of the neighborhood. The meetings facilitated by the city but negotiated by the participants. It was long and challenging, but it was an honest process that yielded a solid, equitable plan. It had balance and was comprised of parts that could actually solve the problem. The second committee, SAC, began in 2009 and met once a month for 90 minutes. A smaller, less representative group, this time the mayor controlled the agenda and set the tone. This time the process was flawed. I've been admonished that city commissioners don't like to hear complaints about process. Fair enough, but when it is as bad as this has been, and when the outcome has been predetermined, then the process becomes nothing so much as a rubber stamp for providing the facade of public outreach. So in this case, the council ought to take notice. Here are a few examples. Early on in creating the interim parking zone L, business input was completely excluded. In fact, we weren't even told that the mayor's office was having meetings. The scope of the SAC meetings were so narrow that topics vitally important to the business representatives were precluded entirely from discussion. That, along with intimidation and even ridicule during some of the meetings, so frustrated the business reps that one by one they all resigned. Ignoring the will of the people clearly expressed at community outreach meetings convened by the mayor himself. The failure to provide answers and information to important questions asked at those meetings. Intentionally misleading the business association last September. And after putting the process and plan in a hibernation for a full year, the mayor gave the minimum notice required that he was bringing the plan to this hearing during the busiest month of the year, a crazy month that everybody, but that's crazy for everyone, but especially for retailers and restaurant people. Last Friday, taxpayer-funded security guards in this building, at the direction of the mayor's office, barred citizens from the business community from attending the press conference. They were turned away while members of the NWDA were invited up. What do you need to know about process? The mayor announced Friday that he was ending the 20-year parking war, if that was only true. This plan won't end the conflict. It won't fix the problem. Part of any solution will be parking controls. So some good has come out of this that can be salvaged and refined. But the plan he is rushing fails crucially to attack the heart of the problem, namely the significant, documented, universally recognized parking deficit. You can't outsmart this problem with parking theories and a policy magic wand. But since there are no compelling reasons to adopt this long hibernating plan this week or next, since the plan is demonstrably incomplete and flawed, and since this will do real harm to people like me and only prolong the divisiveness in the neighborhood, it should not be supported. It's obvious that the business neighbors have as much as motivation as any other constituency to get this thing fixed, maybe more so. So we beg for the opportunity for a win-win outcome under the guidance of and leadership of the new council.
Thank you, sir.
Time's
next,
up.
Mayor.
13
right.
seconds.
Next,
he doesn't
sir.
Have a PhD in parking, but he has a BA in common sense, because that all makes a lot of sense to me. Anyway, now if this passes, I think it's going to be a failure of representative government to represent the people. You got 90% of this community, Northwest Portland, is renters. They're going to wake up one morning and go, we got permits and we got meters on our street. I live here. They're going to say, I got $60 I got to pay for my permit this year. My roommate, he's got to pay $100. And guess what? It's still not going to be easy to park because there's nowhere to park still, or relatively nowhere to park. It is really just 5 minutes and two blocks, but that's really, you know, something that people don't talk about. It's not really that much of a problem in my mind, but in people's mind it is. But it's all where you come from. If you come from San Francisco, New York, it's not a problem. If you grow up here, it's not any worse than it was 20 years ago. I've been here 30 years with the pizza store now, 30 years anniversary next year for the pizza store. And it's not harder to park than it was 30 years ago, but it was never easy to park. It's like going to the mall. They walk two blocks. They walk three blocks in the mall. They're walking five blocks. They're in a mall. They don't feel like that's hard. But if they walk like two or three blocks in Northwest, it's a long way. So it's what people's perceptions are, not the reality. So I don't think this is going to help anybody. It's going to make life for everybody less livable. It's going to make the neighborhood less livable. It's going to make it less inclusive, more exclusive. It's going to make it more unfriendly. And that's not what we're about. And you want to do that all over the city, make little communities where you have permits all over? You want to have gated communities all over the city? Is that what we're aiming for? I understand permits for money. I do. If you want to put, not permits for money, I understand meters for money. If you want to put meters all over the city for revenue, the city needs money and all these governments need money. I understand that. Do it all over the city in all the business districts. Put meters on it. Get some money. I can understand that, and that's fair, and that's a level playing field, and I can understand all that. What I don't understand is saying this is a solution to a problem, because it's just making more problems where a problem exists, but it's just exasperating what we have right now. And that's not going to help anybody, you know, in this system. It's not going to help people that live on Johnson, live on Kearney, that own a house, that rent. And the people, I'll go back to 90% renters. They're going to wake up one morning, not know what happened to them, get smacked in the face and go, what the hell happened? And who the hell voted for that? And how did you let that happen? And that's what's going to happen in like a couple of months when all this stuff hits the fan. Because now, you know, people knew this for about a week. I mean, you said in a week Friday, now it's Thursday. There wasn't enough time. There's not enough people to talk. You saw what happened at MLC when people came out to talk when they had a little time. People were way, way against it. I'm not talking about businesses. I got 148 out of 150 businesses I went by and took a petition to you and showed you they don't want it. Then I was going to go to the neighborhood because I talked to them every day for 30 years. They do not want this. They do not. A few people in the neighborhood association.
Your time's up, sir. I appreciate your testimony.
Danik had more time last time I was here.
Could you put your name on the record again?
What my name's Phil. What's your name?
No, but we get to, because we have to keep a record with people's names.
Okay, my name's Phil. Escape from New York Pizza.
Thank you all for your testimony. Yeah. Next four
are Daniel Cardosa, Sue Erickson, Heidi Dodge, and Lee Stapleton, and they'll be followed by Ron Hartman, Kay Wolf, Vic Wolf, and John Mullen.
Welcome. Would you like to begin, sir?
My name is Lee Stapleton. My main concern is the fact that we're allowing too many percentage for employees. One of the things the businesses should recognize, and it should have recognized a long time ago, is if they're allowing employees to park near to their places of business, they're taking a parking space for a prospective customer. There was a picture in the Northwest Examiner a couple of years ago during the process of this, showing a business owner on 23rd getting a ticket because she was parked in front of the business, and she complained about not being able to park in front of her business. That was a prospective customer, two or three, if she was parking there all day long. I would recommend reducing the number of employee parking permits to the city standard of 50, which is common in the other districts. That would encourage businesses to provide incentives or other opportunities for their employees to park in satellite lots or some other location where it might even be cheaper than a permit, and provide more customer space. And maybe we ought to reduce permits to allow only a certain number of permits per household, maximum of two or one and a half, depending on the number of people in a household. And if apartments or studios or single bedroom, maybe one permit per unit instead of two or three or four, as the plan contemplates.
Thanks, sir, for your testimony. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Hello, my name is Daniel Cardoso. I have lived and worked and owned a business on 23rd Street for over 30 years. I'm here representing the group of businesses in Northwest Portland, and the majority of us do not want this program. As you heard my fellow friends and business owners also, you know, testify that this policy is not something that we want, not something that we feel is necessarily addressing the true issue of what's happening in the district, and that we feel that you're singling out the businesses to be punished, and that's how we interpret this decision, is that the businesses are going to be punished. And we recognize and honor that you have brought in all these experts and that they've testified, and you know, we listened to them. We wanted to listen to them to see if you know, maybe we were missing something. But we've lived and worked and, you know, survived down there for 20, 30, 40 years. We have an understanding of the street. We know the dynamics of what goes on down there, and I don't particularly feel that their expertise necessarily trumps our expertise, which is that we don't want it, and we don't think it's a viable choice in terms of fixing the problem. You know, there's other things that I feel that the city can do first, like, you know, getting those parking areas that you say have been offered. Well, let's implement those. Let's see how much of that solved the problem, if that's a viable choice. Let's reduce the amounts of curb cuts that are allowed in the neighborhood so that no more curb cuts are done, because that takes out two spaces. That's 20, 30 parking spaces a day that are taken out. And don't allow any more housing that doesn't have any parking for themselves. I mean, those are solutions that can be brought forward first, as opposed to, you know, putting it on the businesses to take the hit first. And lastly, if the city truly wants to implement these things, and if the city is looking for revenue, like Phil Geffner said, the business community basically doesn't want to be put in a disadvantaged position with other businesses in other neighborhoods. We would be more apt to accept this decision if it was implemented citywide all at the same time, so that the playing field then becomes even, where there's no neighborhood that's getting whacked first. If you are truly have conviction to your belief that this is the solution to the problem, then you should implement it citywide in all the neighborhoods at the same time. And that from a business perspective, there's really, you know, we don't like it and we don't want it, but we're more accepting of it. And I would urge you to look for the other avenues first to solve this problem, as opposed to just throwing meters and permits at us. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Can you get that mic a little closer to you?
My name is Sue Erickson. I'm a very soon-to-be business owner on Northwest 23rd, and formerly worked on that street as well. So I'm pretty familiar with the parking nightmare, I think is a pretty apt term to use that can be found in that area. As a new incoming business owner, it's of great importance to me everything that's going on right now. And I, unlike many people here, don't have 20 years history of debating this issue and trying to propose solutions, but I find it pretty remarkable that it's been going on for that long, and would really love to see a pretty broad solution. And I think that from what I've seen and heard so far, there's solutions being offered that are part way. The thing that concerns me the most is that somebody coming into the street that is pretty widely perceived, I would say, to be a deterrent for coming down there is parking, you know. And so how does a business mitigate that, and how do you get people in your door when they have this notion that it's hard to get there? It's hard to park, you know, it's kind of a pain. So if the solution is putting meters on the street and putting permits around, and that's all that we're going to do, in my mind, that is even a greater deterrent than the current parking situation. So if that's necessary, and the revenue that comes from the meters is wonderful and the city can use it, and hopefully the actual neighborhood can use it to increase parking, be it through lots, through parking structures, whatever, I mean, that's just a natural solution. So for me personally, I would just like to see it go a step further and to talk about those things and possibly include in the plan alternative parking, because it's not going to change. There's not going to be less people parking. It's always going to be where it's been for 20 years. And so I would just like to see a further plan.
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate it. Hi, welcome.
Hello, my name is Heidi Dodge. I'm the principal of Class Academy. We are a pre-K through 8th grade private school in Northwest Portland. We've been serving children there for the past 14 years. I would like to begin by thanking Commissioner Fritz, especially for listening to our concerns and adding amendments to this plan in an effort to improve the plan. According to the final draft, as you know, we're located one block out of the plan boundary. Therefore, if this plan passes without Commissioner Fritz's amendments, none of my 20 teachers, numerous support staff, or hundreds of parent volunteers would be able to park in the neighborhood surrounding our school without having to move their car every 3 hours. As you can imagine, this is not possible for me to allow a teacher to leave her classroom and go move her car. It would create an immense hardship for our teachers and ultimately compromise the quality of education that our 150 students receive. Commissioner Fritz's amendments mitigate some of our concerns, but certainly not all of them. Rather, they are the first time since learning of this plan last September that the needs of our community have been considered. It is the first step in having a legitimate public process on this controversial issue. We are opposed to the Northwest District Parking Plan and opposed to the TMA that is empowered to managing the rules and regulations of a plan that impacts the lives and livelihood of such a diverse population. We fear that promises are being made now only to be taken away to serve the ulterior motives of a select few individuals who have the time and resources to serve on the TMA. I appreciate that Commissioner Fritz and the mayor added a place for educators to serve on the TMA, and if it ultimately goes through, I hope that that will be helpful. However, as you know, educators are pressed for time. My goal is to help kids and teachers, not to worry about parking and where my parent volunteers are going to be parking. We are opposed to a plan that does little to solve the parking deficit problem by not planning for realistic off-street parking options. All of the off-street parking options listed in the plan are several blocks from my school and would not be accessible to any of my parents or staff. Moreover, we are opposed to a plan that has excluded vital stakeholders from the planning process. Of most concern to us are the cost of the permits, if we were to be included, and inclusion of 100% for employees. I don't know how I could tell which teachers could park and which couldn't. We are committed to continuing this conversation and working with the new council to form a plan that truly solves the parking deficit in Northwest Portland please vote against this flawed plan and allow us to continue that hard work.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. The next four
are Ron Hartman, Kay Wolf, Vic Wolf, and John Mullen. And they'll be followed by Dan Singer, John Cohen, Christy White, and Kirby Kirch.
Ms. Wolf, would you like to begin?
No. Hello, I'm Kay Wolf, the current president of the Knob Hill Business Association. There is no way I could talk for 6 minutes. I've been with the association for 8 years and as such have some understanding of the parking problem history in our area. My employer has a small parking lot that fills our needs, and yes, we share our lot after hours with our neighbor businesses. I'm not here for personal gain. However, like you, I know we want to do the right thing. I care deeply for my neighborhood, as do you care for the entire city. I've never stopped being grateful and amazed at the collaborative effort that the CAC, who brought a parking solution that was approved by council in 2003, did. Residents, merchants, social services all came out and became of like mind. Yes, I realize the special interest dismantled a key piece of the following day, but that group found the right combination to ease parking in our district, meters, permits, and reasonable off-street parking. Not surprisingly, when Mayor Adams put together the SAC to revisit the parking in the district, they came to basically the same conclusion that we need all three pieces. Currently, the mayor's plan is missing a piece, fully developed off-street parking. The examples that you've given us have some serious flaws that I know of. I don't know everything about them, though. Is a solution.
What flaws are those?
We can go. I only have 3 minutes.
I'll give you more time.
No, that's all right. One of them is too small, too far away. But I think you're onto something. We need a little more time to figure it out. From who I hear from, the businesses in the area are open to implementing some plan when all three reasonable pieces are in place. We are dubious about the TMA. With the additions that Councilwoman Fritz has added, several of the affected groups that weren't represented are, and there are some other, we really appreciate the 100% employee parking. I think that's just a minimum of what has to be done. We are also disturbed by the mayor's office going behind our back and meeting with resident associations, creating a divide and hard feelings that all of us in the business association have been working hard to overcome, not to mention the press conference fiasco. Shame on you, Sam Adams.
I went to your organization too, ma'am, and the neighborhood was not allowed to go to that.
Oh, yes, they were. Ron Walters was there, and you had a temper tantrum.
Ma'am, the problem of disagreements in this neighborhood predate both you and I. So please finish your testimony.
Amen. Most of all, our residents do not own their homes, but they rent. The ones that I've heard from that rent love shopping, eating, and just living in Knob Hill. Our decisions will impact their ability to help make the businesses prosper, and if the businesses fail, that in turn will stub the city's income stream. The suburbs are very clear about their message. They have acres of free parking. We need to make sure we can implement all three prongs of the parking plan and in a way that will keep our allure and our businesses healthy. Let's keep talking after the first of the year and work this out. Let's prove that this is the city that works. I'm asking you to delay the decision until we can finish our work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Hi, I'm Vic Wolf, owner of Vic Wolf Salon, Northwest 23rd. Just a brief history of my life there. I moved to my salon, my first salon, 900 block of 23rd in 1979. 3 years later, I opened a salon across the street, and I've been there 30 years this month, okay? It was a different place back then, kind of like Mississippi or Alberta was today. In those early years, I lived in Goose Hollow and rode my bike to work. Now I live in Hillsdale, have a home, and drive to work. Parking's never been easy in Northwest, but my clients and I have adapted and actually enjoy the challenge, okay? Is it going to improve my business? I don't think so. Is it going to be more costly to me and my staff? Yes. Will we still drive? Yes. Will we be forced to buy yearly permits? Yes. None of the neighbors I've spoken with are excited about permits for themselves or their guests. Who are these handful of people pushing for permits? It's not the mainstream of Northwest Portland. Northwest is thriving on its own. Why do you want to mess with success? The meters and fees are what got me out of downtown. It's why I came here. It's why the merchants in Northwest Portland, Mississippi, Alberta, and Hawthorne are where they are. They don't want meters. They don't want this. If we wanted that, we'd go to the Pearl. The Pearl can have it. It can have all that empty space they have, all those dead spots and the high rents. We like it where we are. Northwest is alive, so leave us alone.
Thanks for your testimony. Sir, thanks for waiting.
Do I hit this? Oh.
I think it's already on.
I'm John Mullen. I'm actually a homeowner in the neighborhood, live on 24th.
Can you get it just a little closer? Or?
Oh, there you go. John Mullen, I live 2388 Northwest Lovejoy. I've lived there for 16 years. Dear Amanda Fritz, council members, I speak up today for the homeowners living in the Alphabet Historic District to request that parking meters not be placed in residential streets. This issue is similarly and recently addressed yesterday by withdrawing proposed meter placements in the park's residential streets. I agree totally with my many neighbors that long-standing residential neighborhood streets should not be metered. Regarding parking in the neighborhood, I would like to remind the council and businesses that the attraction for shoppers and visitors to the Alphabet Historic District is the neighborhood. We should not forget that. This is what makes shopping experiences on 21st and 23rd Streets unique, attractive, and different from a shopping mall experience. It is why people come to the business area to visit and shop. Making the Alphabet Historic District neighborhood into a paid metered parking lot results in making the neighborhood more mall-like and less desirable to visit, shop, and live in. In regards to any sort of parking permit process, any monies obtained from those, I believe, should be used to actually go towards a neighborhood Northwest Community Center and not be allocated for additional meters and parking garages as outlined in the plan. Couple other points. Presently, plenty of documented unused parking spaces in the Alphabet Historic District. No other city historic districts have had parking meters placed within their historic district. To my knowledge, no other city historic districts have parking permits required in their neighborhoods. Homeowners in the Alphabet Historic District do not want meters in front of their homes. The homeowners in the area affected by the plan do not want parking permits required to park in front of their homes. Then I would just like to encourage all business employees to use present paid parking lots, and that would free up additional spaces for customers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it. I'm sorry. Apologize.
Please. No problem.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Ron Hartman. I'm a resident of the neighborhood. I live a half a block west of 23rd, so right in the thick of things. And I, too, am opposed to this plan. I don't see how, if the problem right now is that there are too many cars in the neighborhood, this plan does not take cars out of the neighborhood. The only people that would be affected are those supposed commuters that are driving to our neighborhood and catching the streetcar. I walk our dog every morning and have spoken to many people who park on my street and are on their way going somewhere else. None of the people that I've spoken to are these type of commuters. Everyone I've spoken to are members work at Good Sam. Now, I've asked them, why are they parking there? They've explained to me that Good Sam provides them parking on 17th and Raleigh, six blocks away. So they'd rather park on my block, one block away. Implementing this plan, they'll just move over to 25th and walk two blocks rather than the six. So this is not going to solve any of the problems that are with having too many cars on the street. In fact, it's going to make it worse because people employees that are currently parking on 23rd now with their they can buy a parking permit, but they can no longer park on 23rd. So now they'll come off of 23rd and park on the side streets.
What's your cross street, please?
Northrop.
Thank you.
So, Mayor Adams, you started this presentation by saying that the city had used parking meters for 73 years, to manage parking in the city. And that works downtown because you can manage, you can affect the way people behave, change their behavior patterns by getting them off the streets for long-term parking and into parking structures. But without the parking structures in the Northwest 23rd, your management the management portion of that formula is not present. And that I think that's been brought up before, but I also wanted to emphasize that.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. We are going to take a 10-minute compassion break, so we will reconvene in 10 minutes. It's now 4:52. So.